2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It is Unrivaled right here on a Tuesday edition of the show. We are here at City Creek Center at the brand new Cafe Rio location. Having a good time so far, Scott. It's fun being out and about. I love doing this stuff. Plus, Megan brought all the Jazz gear. You having fun so far?
Yeah, and love all the fans that stop by and say, hey, we listen. We love it. And kind of
go there Utes. Was, go well, Utes, no, there
was
Scott.
The guy was talking about, he goes, when we first got you, he goes, hey, do you think the Lions are ever going to win?
Did you fall for that? I don't even listen to that bait because I know they're trying to get you.
And I go, well, of course they're not going to win. No, we all know that. And he goes, yeah, there was a guy who he left his car. His car was in a parking lot, and he left his two Lions tickets on the dashboard. Someone had broke his window, broke into his car, and left four more
and
tickets.
And put more tickets on the deal. Yeah, there you go.
So
there's
like
your
that. That
there's
good.
Your daily Lions
hey,
joke.
That's your old
you want
joke
more.
Right
you want
there.
More hot Lions humor. You turn into the Unraveled show every day. No. You're gonna get more hot.
Look, I'm here all week.
Some more hot takes from Scott on the Lions here. College football is an interesting thing, Scott. As we've been talking about these coaching changes that have happened, all the stuff that's kind of gone back and forth, and I started to think about the Lincoln Riley deal, not just for the Pac-12, but across college football. It feels like it changes everything a little bit, you know, and immediately. It evens things up, and not because Lincoln Riley is necessarily the perfect pick for USC yet, although you've kind of called him that. I just think it's because you immediately take away a little bit of that power that Oklahoma has had, right, over everybody else, because now you have to hire somebody at Oklahoma, and I just think that it's going to be a hard time for them to readjust. And anytime you can just have the quote-unquote powers that be that are always there in college football, that have always been there in that college football playoff, I think they've gone three out of the last 4 years to the college football playoff. That's the type of success that he was having. Whether or not you want to say it was all Bob Stoops that did it, this coaching carousel is quite a deal. But here's what I think, though. The college football playoff, if it does increase to 12 teams, you're going to get a lot less, I think, of the coach poaching, because you're going to see teams who are able to get there. It's the same effect that Kalani Sitake, I think you're going to see a more secure situation for him at BYU because they're going to the Big 12. Because of that expansion, because they're in – you know, the possibility of being in a conference championship, it's going to be something that happens. It's going to be something that that having those teams, having 12 teams means you're going to have a lot fewer of these coaches getting poached because they can say, like, Luke, what are you talking about? Luke Fickell's like, I'm doing this in Cincinnati, man. No. He didn't take that USC job, bro.
Yeah, because he probably didn't want to go to USC, but it doesn't mean that he wouldn't look to go somewhere else. And having more playoff teams isn't going to change this. The playoffs is not what changes whether coaches stay or not, or whether their team's in the hunt for the playoffs is not going to keep a coach somewhere. Everything changed when recruiting changed. All of this stuff is about recruiting. Coach Whittingham at Utah, he goes, "Am I going to retire after this year? No, of course I'm not going to retire." I'm not going to retire. And you know what? He might.
You think?
But he's not going to say.
You think that he really
He's not going to say he's going to retire at the end of November when they're right in the middle of recruiting.
Do you think
nobody in their right mind is going to say that?
Do you think that he really might? Do you think that, like,
yes,
honestly,
I
that
really
he
do.
Would say, I don't, I'm.
He's not going to tell you what he really
now,
thinks.
Now, what's interesting is he's and going, it's I'm not going to talk about that. Why wouldn't he just say, nah, man, I'm not going to, why would you ask me that? I still got years on the contract here.
All of these coaches, because people know he's probably going to retire.
Mm.
All of these coaches are not going to tell you how they really feel. And it, they have to, a new coach, Lincoln Wright, you mentioned it before. As soon as he leaves Oklahoma, all these kids decommit, right? Because they know that the early signing is happening here in December.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, well, hold on. I need to know where the coach is going to be, and I need to know who the coach is. Because I don't want to go to a program that all of a sudden I thought I was going to be there, and it was a different deal when I got there. And nobody wants that. And that's smart for these players. And these programs know if we don't have a big-time name in the building by the end of November, we're screwed for recruiting this year. We're done. So they've got to get these coaches, and it doesn't matter if they're in the hunt for the playoffs or not.
Well, but of course it matters.
It doesn't matter because the programs – look, if Ken Niumatalolo, right, was he not the hottest guy in college football? When did you hear his name last?
Oh, 18 months ago when kind of pre-pandemic.
Yeah,
right. When BYU played him happened?
Look what this guy did at Navy. Now, I guess if he wants to stay at a military academy for his whole entire career, maybe that's a special deal.
Is there a world where any of these where Navy or Navy's in a conference, but I mean like an Army type team? I don't know how many independents are going to end up being.
They're not going to end up.
But no. I'm saying, is there ever? I guess the coach poaching will always happen as long as other schools have more money to be able to wave at some other guy.
Coaches are hard to come by. Good coaches are hard to come by. Like they're just not out there all over the place. And when you recognize and see a good one, you go get them. And you hold on to them, and you do whatever it takes to get them there and keep them there and do whatever you can. Because in college football, and that may change a little bit with this NIL stuff, but in college football, the coach is the biggest – I mean, a good coach is everything, I'm not – Alabama wasn't just blowing out the doors before Nick Saban showed up.
Yeah, but if you knew that you had a shot to be able to get to – and not just be in the college football playoff, but maybe be there in that conversation every third year. You know, I think about teams like in the Big 12, for example. I think your Baylors and your – in years like this, right, where a Baylor or an Oklahoma State – they'd be in the new version of the college football playoff, probably not easily, but for sure you're going to see more of those teams, right?
Yep.
And a Baylor coached by Dave Aranda is going to be going to the college football playoff. Then they're able to give him more money. Then they're able to offer more. But Baylor's never going to be the program that Texas is going to be. Baylor's never even going to be the program
that
Oklahoma is. And in the SEC, you've got all these teams like I don't even think Florida will never be like your Alabama's. I don't think that you're going to see those disparities across there. But if they're getting the college football playoff, then to me, those coaches would go, nah, I'm good here because we're going to do something special and win a national championship at this place and not just be at Alabama and not just do those things at Alabama.
That just sounds really nice, Alex. I mean, that sounds really, really nice.
The coaches are committed. I'm committed to stay here and coach for $1.5 million because I don't need your big money. I'll win the national championship over here.
Okay, I think there are people out there like that. But I think the person that I think they're few and far between. I think it's probably two of them here in Utah. I mean, Kalani Sitake, I think he really feels like I'm actually at a place I really want to be. Like I'm at my dream job,
right?
And I think it's more to him there. And I may be wrong on this. I think the same thing with Kyle Whittingham. I think in a place like Utah in general, that there's not this just over the wall passion. We gotta win at all costs kind of mentality here. I don't even think it's that way with the Utah Jazz. It's just like we just cheer for our teams.
What do you think the best coaching job is in America? At any college football team, what's the best coaching job? What's the best? Is it just the one that makes the most money? Which one is it? Is it Alabama because they always win?
You know,
and you get a lot of money there too.
I'll tell you a place there's a couple of places that probably would be really good. Northwestern.
What are you talking about?
I mean, if you're just
what
talking,
are you talking
no,
about?
If you're talking about a coach, like, or a Wisconsin.
I'm not saying what school do you want your kids to go get an education at. No. I'm saying what's an amazing coaching job in college football?
Why is that not it. Why are you not listening to what I'm
saying? Because you said Northwestern, and so the rest of your opinion doesn't matter. Northwestern?
No.
Of all the teams you just rolled out there. Okay. Let me listen. I apologize.
Thank you for
this is what my wife
listening.
Gets mad about,
oh,
too.
Oh, my goodness. I know. It's like if you say something, Alex reacts, and then he thinks later and goes, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I get so – no, it doesn't. Yeah, okay, but
well,
go
no,
ahead.
It will make a lot of sense when you calm down.
Northwestern.
Calm down, Karen.
Vanderbilt. Karen, he says.
Just calm
How
down.
How dare you?
Or I get Karen Curie.
I got that short hair, the blown out Draper mom hair.
If you could see Alex right now when I said Karen, he like
I was as appalled as when you said Northwestern is a premier coach is the premier coaching job.
No, when you say like what's like the best coaching job, it's one where there's a passion about the school and the sport, but there's also not the pressure or if you don't win every year, you're out. And a school like Northwestern, there's no expectation at Northwestern.
I'm gonna call you out.
Let me tell you another one.
Okay.
Wisconsin.
That's a little bit warmer, but still not close.
No, because it's not Alabama. It's not Ohio State. It's not any of these programs that are like – it's not USC.
It's not Texas. It's not USC.
No, because they're these
I'm not talking about where you're going to have job security. I'm talking about – where is the place that every coach goes, that's where I want to end up with the because I'll be able to recruit easier there. I'll be able to get the best talent. We'll be able to win. I'll be paid the most money while I'm at it.
I thought you were talking about the utopia where because none of them.
All
those schools right there are the pressure cooker.
Scott, I can't.
It's all the pressure cooker. And it's like, look, I wouldn't mind being in the pressure cooker. I don't mind living under those rules.
You belie yourself because this is not the Scott Mitchell way. The Scott Mitchell way goes, aim high, win a national championship. That's what I want to do.
That's what I just said. I said if you're talking about a program where you want to compete for a national championship, then, yeah, the ones I just named, all those schools. But I'm saying
you're talking about for you personally.
I'm not talking about me personally. I'm talking about a coach that goes – look, I could coach, I could be at a great university, I wouldn't have to have the pressure of like, and mind you, these coaches are going to, you know, they're going to, I mean, Pat Fitzgerald has done a great job at Northwestern.
And he's been there forever.
Right.
Safe choice. Guy who played there, right? And he's gone to a Rose Bowl at least once.
Probably makes $3 or $4 million a year.
Why not?
And they actually
have amazing facilities, too.
They have amazing
that overlook Lake Michigan. It's like a perfect place.
If you want great journalism school at Northwestern. If you want the pressure cooker, if you want the job in the United States of America right now, I think that would be the absolute best job. I would say USC.
Yeah, and Lincoln Riley took it.
I really do because it can go nowhere but up, and you have every possible resource you could have to make that thing sing, and you've seen what it does when it sings, and it. It's sexy, and everyone wants to be a part of it.
Which one is the coolest if you win a national championship there, though? I think Texas. I think Texas is that cool place.
I think Texas has gone kind of...
How dare you? It's my birthplace.
I'm going to call it woke. Texas's football is now woke.
Keep Austin woke, baby. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. now available anywhere you get your podcasts.